Hi, I'm Jim Nolan. Today, my guest is Royal Holland, who's a local singer-songwriter who's been working on a trilogy of albums. Part one was The Maze, and he's just released part two, Flamingo. And coming up next year will be part three called Program. And here to tell us about this project is Royal Holland. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
What led you to start this pretty ambitious project if you know you're dedicated to three albums before you start?
It was not quite a decision, but a decision, I would say. Yeah, it all comes down to how you're planning out your releases. And when I first started this project, I was doing a lot of singer-songwriter nights with a good friend, Margaret Darling. And I had started developing some backing tracks to play behind the music to kind of give it some other sounds that I was interested in exploring. So there were a lot of kind of synthy sounds going on, some dance beat type stuff mixed with the folk stuff I was doing on top of it, just really interested me. And so I finally decided I wanted to record it. And working with Brian Olive, who's an amazing engineer and producer, it was kind of in conversations with him where the idea became more fleshed out. I have plans to release an LP after all of this with a full band whom I'm playing with now. But the three EPs then kind of became this journey that I was going to take to figure out exactly what the band should sound like.
Because they're basically released as five-song EPs. Did you have all 15 tracks kind of more or less created before you started this, or has it been evolving as you go?
So I did have 15 tracks planned out. I like having a roadmap. And even with the two LPs planned after these three EPs, I have track listings basically of songs I would like to do or would like to write or are already written and how they fit together. But as we recorded, there were definitely new songs that worked their way in. The new one that we're still tracking on right now, two of the songs I wrote maybe a day before going in to start recording. So it's just kind of whatever. I mean, I definitely like having a plan, but then don't mind adjusting.
Tell me a little bit about your background in performing music.
My parents got me piano lessons. I grew up in Felicity, Ohio, which is a small farm town out east. And there was a widowed woman who lived in town. Her name was Naomi Stone. She's passed away now. But I had piano lessons with her. And the only thing that I wanted was to learn how to write music and to write a song. So I begged her for a long time. She said, no, we're not doing it yet. Finally, she gave me some staff paper and taught me how to write the notes and everything. And I went home and wrote a song. And I was probably 7 years old at the time. And it was based on Frogger, the video game. I thought it was the greatest thing. I was like, oh, this is so good. And I took it to play for her the next week, and I had another song as well. She listened to me play it, and she looked at me, and she said, this isn't very good.
At least she was honest about it.
Exactly. It didn't stop me. It just spurred me on. And I played in so many bands over the years. Played drums first, actually, and then realized that you couldn't get any girls that way. So I moved on to guitar and started writing songs, and it's been ever since. I can't stop.
And so you've broken it down into three pieces, The Maze, Flamingo, and then Program. What's the different sort of approach to each album?
Like I said, the first album, we actually took a lot of those backing tracks that I had developed, Brian and I, and kind of built the EP off of those in a way. It was a lot of experimentation and figuring out exactly how these sounds could work together sonically. And it was he and I getting to know each other as well, because we had known of each other, but we hadn't really worked together. And it was a good process, and I think we got some good sounds out of it. The second one, when we went to record Flamingo, it was after I had put a backing band together of good friends and people I'd played with before. And we had been fleshing out the songs for a live show in a very different way than we had recorded on that first EP. And I think that definitely influenced the way we recorded the second one. We didn't spend a lot of time prepping up front. We just started with tracking drums and kind of laying stuff on top of it until we got to something that sounded more like a full band. And we've continued that with the third one as we've been recording. So I feel like I would like to bring some of the elements back from the first and the third to kind of put a nice end cap on it. But yeah, it's shaping up really good.
It's interesting because something I read in exploring about flamingo in particular, it says that flamingo answers the questions that were brought up by the maze. How does that feel in your mind in terms of how they relate to each other?
The story of Royal Holland as a person is pretty tragic. It's focused on a very tragic event of losing someone he loved very much. And so these EPs also are acting as an introduction to that persona and the ideas of what you go through when something like that happens. So the maze brought up a lot of questions and talks about him searching and trying to find answers, but none are really apparent. So Flamingo was definitely an attempt to answer some of those questions. I feel like that's what we try to do. You know, we try to seek answers for things that may not be easily answered. The title track, for instance, it's really a metaphor looking at an actual flamingo in comparison to the ones that we put in our yards, which I think a lot of people think of. We don't see flamingos in the wild, but if we were to, it would be something, a completely different experience than just staring at this kitschy thing that we're putting up to try to kind of cover up our actual selves. And I feel like we're maybe more like those wild flamingos than we think or tend to think often. And that's kind of what Royal Holland hopes to be, or hopes to figure out how to be in this society where that's not exactly normal.
So. Well, that sounds like a perfect introduction. Would you mind playing flamingo
for
us?
Oh, I'd love to. Sure.
So never let me be reminded.
That rendition of Flamingo is very different from the one that you'll get on the album Flamingo. The one on the album has a lot more organ and a lot more backing instruments. There's a lot of collaboration going on in that album. The first one, The Maze, was primarily a collaboration with you, Margaret Darling, and of course, Brian Olive. But right now, with the second part, you've brought in all kinds of musicians. Can you tell me about some of those folks?
Definitely. One of the, not main players, but she added some backing vocals, is Wonky Tonk. She's been playing bass with me, actually. We've been kind of trading off me playing bass with her, she playing bass with me. And she added some backing vocals, which was really great. I do feel like the third EP that we're working on is more collaborative. So it's kind of like we're opening the door for that with number two. And then some other friends, Tom Willis and Jennifer Sullivan, added some backing vocals as well to number two. I do feel like I wish there had been even more collaboration on number two. I really love the vibe that we get when we're all in the studio kind of working together. That's why I'm really excited about recording this full band album after. It was a lot of work, but it was good work.
Just how influential has Brian Olive's part been in all of this?
Brian is a great guy, and he not only has been influential on the sound, which I think has been wonderful, like going to a garage rock guy to record a folk album is not what everybody expects someone to do. I feel like I oftentimes do that thing, the non-expected thing, and I feel like it's turned out really well. He's got such a great ear and has influenced the music in some ways. Polaroid Blues is a song that's on Volume 2 Flamingo. It's not a song that I probably would have ever recorded before, but I was like, this is going to sound great with what Brian has to do with it. And it's been compared to early Pink Floyd, which I thought was a really cool reference. And I just love the fact that what he brings to it adds just another layer of complexity, I would say, not in a bad way, but just another voice. He's basically another voice in this project, and I trust him a great deal with that.
And then tell me just a little bit about Program. What can we expect?
Yeah, I'm very excited about this one. It's turning out to be a good finale, I think. Again, like I said, there has been much more collaboration this time. Brian shows up playing a Barry sax part, actually, which is pretty exciting. And then there's just some vocal collaborations with Kristen Kreft of The Perfect Children and Daniel Wayne of Daniel Wayne and the Silver Lines. Wonky Tonk shows up again, and Margaret Darling, of course. So if The Maze was asking the questions and Flamingo was trying to answer them, Program becomes the acceptance that there will always be questions and always be answers, and all of them might be right and all of them might be wrong. And it's just trying to keep your humanity through all of that, which is kind of an interesting nuance, calling it Program. And that's a very methodical, computery sounding word, but hopefully the humanity shines through as well.
My guest has been Royal Holland. Volume 1, The Maze, is out. Volume 2, Flamingo, just recently came out. And coming next year, Volume 3, Program. Would you like to play us out with a song?
I would love to. I'll give you a taste of Program, actually. This is a song called Gollum Effect. Never before heard. Really mean it.
My guest has been Royal Holland. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much, Jim.
For links to more information about Royal Holland, you can visit wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Jim Nolan.